The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, what's up? I'm former Bills receiver Stevie Johnson, and you're listening to Nate and the Fellas on the Circling the Wagons podcast. It's only one way to roll. That's through the Buffalo Rumblings Podcast Network. Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. Go Bills, baby.
Where else
would
you rather be than right here, right now?
Hey, hey, let's go Buffalo. Hey, hey, let's go Buffalo.
The Bills make me wanna shout.
Welcome to the Circling the Wagons podcast, a podcast discussing the Bills all year round with interviews, news, recaps, and insightful fan discussion. Most times. Here's your host and lifelong Bills fan, Nate.
Hey Bills fans, welcome to another episode of Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast. I'm your host, Nate. Thank you guys so much for listening to us during this off season in the second week of free agency. We have a tremendous episode where we're going to go over we're going to recap all of the moves that have happened this past week for the Buffalo Bills, either players that they've signed or players that they've lost to free agency. Maybe they didn't want to lose them. Maybe they did. We're going to talk about all those moves. We're going to update our big needs list going into the draft, which we're going to continue to update going into the draft because it's kind of going to determine how we look at draft prospects for the Buffalo Bills from our standpoint, from the Buffalo Bills standpoint, needs. And it's an exciting time. But first, this episode is brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook at Delago. If you're in the Western New York or Central New York area, head on down the Thruway, get off at Exit 41 in Waterloo, New York. Check out the Delago Resort and Casino, where every moment is a winning moment. I'm joined by my co-hosts, John and Mike. And fellas, this is an exciting part of the season. It's not as exciting as last season. We didn't re-sign Jordan Poyer. We didn't get potentially starting left guard or anything like that, but we added some depth. So, John, I'll start with you. How are you doing?
Doing good. Looking forward to the Super Bowl next year.
Can't wait. Mike, what about you?
Well, you mean this year, right?
Well, technically it'll be 2024. You mean this season?
Yeah. Yes.
This Super Bowl of 2024.
Slash next year.
I see.
And the season after that. So, yeah,
so Mike's good. Mike's
yeah, it doesn't
excited
matter.
For this good dynasty point. Run. So
I'm good to be. I'm glad to be back. I make my triumphant return from vacation.
Yeah, good. Good to have you back. It's always good to get a little vacation in. Always good to come back and talk Buffalo Bills, even though it's not the height of the offseason, but there's still a lot of stuff to discuss, some fun things to discuss. And let's go right into it. So last time we talked, we went through the first week of free agency. We mentioned all the moves that were made, like Connor McGovern, Bills left tackle, the Bills re-signing Dane Jackson, and we kind of left off on the Bills releasing wide receiver Isaiah McKenzie. And so from there, the Bills signed wide receiver Trent Sherfield to a one-year contract. The wide receiver from Miami Dolphins came in. This is an interesting move. It kind of reminds me a little bit of the Deontay Hardy signing, except because they both add special teams needs to the Buffalo Bills. Deontay Hardy is more of a punt returner, kick returner, and wide receiver, and Trent Sherfield is kind of like a gunner and also a wide receiver. They're both fast, though. Deontay Hardy is only like 5'6". Trent Sherfield, on the other hand, is 6'1". He's a much bigger guy. He can play inside and out. It's just adding more depth at the wide receiver position, but also adding more speed and potentially an upgrade over, why am I blanking on his name? Touchdown Jesus. John, help me out here. From the Packers.
Kumerow?
He was here for 2 seasons. Yes, thank you. Jake Kumerow. Thank you. So we have another wide receiver on the roster.
Where's Kumerow go? Jets?
I think he's still a free agent.
Nowhere yet. He has not signed anywhere. I think he's still a free agent, yeah. There's a lot of free agents out there. I'm going to mention...
Aaron Rodgers' boy?
He is. Haven't the Jets already re-signed like a couple of players from the Jets? Alan Lazard, and I think there was another player as well, I can't remember, from the Packers. But do you guys want to talk about that real quick, Aaron Rodgers, before we get into it? Because none of these moves are super huge or really, really earth-shaking. We didn't talk about Aaron Rodgers last week because we thought by now there would be a decision made. Like, do you think this is inevitable that Aaron Rodgers ends up going to the Jets? Or could this be one big, like, jerk around where they don't end up getting him and it's just kind of, they've already, you know, pushed all their chips to the middle. They haven't gotten another quarterback where they can, you know, rely on to be a starter. John, I'll start with you. I know we talked about that a little bit off the air after the podcast, but I mean, he's got to sign there, right? He's got to be traded.
Yeah, I mean,
there.
There's that whole thing about like with the contract and like if it's after the first week of the season or something, like would be to the Packers' benefit. But that seems like that's a long time from now. I mean, it'd be a very just thing to happen for him not to end up being traded. And then Rodgers could just turn around and just retire, and then the Packers don't get him either. So, like, I don't know.
Oh, that would be amazing. That'd be the best thing ever. The Jets give up so many draft picks just to get him, and then he doesn't end up playing for them more than a game or two.
But at least the Packers have a backup plan, at least, right? Like,
yeah, it's
Jordan Love. Like, it was a first round pick, right? So the Jets don't have anything right now.
Yeah. Yeah, they have nothing. Unless you count Zach Wilson, right? So, yeesh. Which is crazy, because as a Bills fan, when I look at that move, I'm not worried, but, you know, you kind of think about it. Like, Aaron Rodgers is one of the best quarterbacks in the league. So if you put him on a team like that, that was really just missing a really good quarterback like that, they had a good run game, a good defense, you know, I mean, imagine fitting out, like, you know, the Baltimore Ravens of 2000, great defense. I mean, their defense isn't as good as that defense, obviously. Hall of Fame worthy, but you know, you add Aaron Rodgers to that team, even 39-year-old Aaron Rodgers.
There's a lot of similarities to
it's
when
a huge upgrade.
Brett Favre went to the Jets. But I mean, and the Jets went 9-7 that year, but I mean, it was still third in the division, so I mean, it can only help so much, I guess.
That's true.
I think it's a foregone conclusion. Woody Johnson wants his Johnson Woody, and Aaron Rodgers can make it happen.
It's another similarity between Favre and Rodgers. Speaking of Woody. Oh, we missed you, Mike. We missed you the last few. Never more evident. And the question is, how much does it really affect the Buffalo Bills and whatnot? I mean, the Bills still have their secondary intact. They just don't necessarily get Von Miller for a few months into the season or until the postseason.
I think it gives me like Rodgers won 2 of the last 3 MVPs. Like, surround him with talent and those games are much more difficult in my mind.
I mean, the Jets don't have a great offensive line. I think that's just their hang up, but otherwise they're a pretty solid team. They seem to be solidly coached. I mentioned their defense obviously being really good. They're getting weapons now. It's going to be interesting. I'm going to keep my eye on it. More so, I don't know if it ends up making... I mean, it's so funny that the Jets and the Dolphins are making such big moves. The Dolphins getting Jalen Ramsey just a couple of weeks ago. You know, the Jets going all in. And obviously, the Dolphins getting Bradley Chubb in the actual season. They're restructuring, moving around a lot of contract and money just to get Jalen Ramsey on their team. But they're pushing all their chips to the middle. Like, they're going to be able to make a run for it this season. And now you have the Jets doing the same thing. Like, this crap never happened as a Bills fan. Like, when Tom Brady was was quarterback, and that dynasty was going on for the Patriots. I feel like no team ever made a push this hard for their entire roster, you know, like to get a one of the best quarterbacks in NFL history, or at least a Hall of Famer at that. And I mean, they tried for Brett Favre, but it was kind of like a half-assed attempt. Like the Jets weren't really seemingly like going all in with him. But it makes him a legitimate contender, which. You know, but then again, it didn't really matter to the Chiefs in the AFC West, so maybe it won't matter for the Buffalo Bills in the AFC East. All right, so the other big move that I thought was really interesting was the Buffalo Bills signed running back Damien Harris from the New England Patriots to a one-year deal, very team-friendly deal. It's kind of like this was the running back that they never really had since Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott have taken over, just like a bruising back between the tackles. A guy that can make some moves. He doesn't have nearly as many fumble to his name that Devin Singletary did. Not that we didn't like Devin Singletary, but he definitely had ball issues. I think it was in the last four seasons, Devin Singletary had 12 fumbles and Damien Harris had, you know, three with almost the same amount of touches in that time frame. So you lose a little bit of receiving talent, but you gain a lot more, you know, between the tackles running. So, I'm kind of excited about that. This, if for those that don't remember, Damien Harris was the one that broke off that huge run against the Buffalo Bills when New England played the win game just a couple of seasons ago, where I think the score was like 17-10 or something like that. It was just like a run game back and forth where Mac Jones only threw two passes. Damien Harris was the one that ended up breaking the big run to that ended up being the score that won the game for the Patriots that day. Former Bills running back Devin Singletary, speaking of him, signs a one-year deal with the Houston Texans. Same day, former Bills safety Jaquan Johnson signs with the Vegas Raiders. You know, he was a former the official backup of the Circling the Wagons podcast until this last season, where he took a big step back, and Micah Hyde went down, and he just really didn't show up. Damar Hamlin took his job and opportunity from him, but then you know I stand by him. Having some potential. I saw a lot of Bills throwing him under the bus, and he did not have a great season last year, but he did show promise his first three seasons, and the Bills did fire their safeties coach, so I'm just going to put that out there. Maybe it wasn't all Jaquan Johnson. Anyway, Buffalo Bills re-signed offensive tackle David Questenberry. Just more depth here. Nothing crazy, nothing really to look into, just another swing tackle position. More depth there. Buffalo Bills did end up signing guard David Edwards to a one-year contract from the Rams. I think that's more or less another depth signing along the guard position. More versatility there, guard, right guard, left guard, center. This is a guy that's going to compete with Ike Butker and Greg Mantz? For the interior offensive line backup depth role. So, again, just more depth. We'll see. He has experience with Aaron Cromer in the Rams, so that could have been the reason why he was poached from them.
Yeah, I like that signing a lot, actually. I think...
And the newest...
He started a lot of games for the Rams.
The David Edwards signing?
He had injury this last year that limited him. But I think if he's healthy, I think he could definitely fill in or even start.
Yeah, I like Brandon Bean's approach to the interior offensive line this past season. It feels like it's much more concerted effort to get better, whereas normally he just picks up the scraps from like the Jets or the Dolphins. Like to your point, I mean, he's only 26 years old, Edwards. He's 6'6", 308 pounds. I mean, that's huge for a guard. But then again, you know, the Bills center is, I think Morris is 6'6" as well, or 6'5". He's huge. Started 45 games. Including the 2021 Super Bowl victory. Yeah, John, good call there. I am a fan of that one as well. And then there's just been some rumors that the Bills could be, that they are hosting defensive end Calais Campbell on a free agent visit. Calais Campbell is a free agent, and he is, 36 years old. 15 years in the NFL, first team All-Pro honors in 2019, second team All-Pro honors in 2014, 2016, six Pro Bowl selections. I mean, he's 6'8", 300 pounds. I mean, the Bills could use some beef up front. I like the veteran presence. I like the one-year deal. Maybe a vet minimum. I don't know. They're looking for... So we're going to go into needs after this, but you know, a signing like this might move that defensive tackle need down a little bit because there's some veteran proven talent on the roster. Maybe they don't need to take, you know, a day two or high day three pick at defensive tackle. So I like that move. Bills clearly interested in DeAndre Hopkins by a lot of different reports. I don't like, if you're talking salary aside, because you know if the Bills really want to, they'll find a way to make it work, even if it means kicking the can down the road and ending up really killing their cap space in 2024 or 5 or whatever. Like, what do you guys think about the prospect of getting DeAndre Hopkins on this team? Because it's such a, I feel like, you know, this was brought up like 4 or 5 days ago. I thought there would be an answer that he would either be moving, you know, first they were looking for a first round pick. Then they're thinking maybe a second round pick, maybe a second and third round pick, something similar to what the 49ers gave to the Panthers to get Christian McCaffrey, except Christian McCaffrey is much younger. And, you know, I don't know. You add a 31-year-old DeAndre Hopkins, you know, potentially one of the best wide receivers when he's playing well in the NFL, and you put him on a team that also has Stephon Diggs. I mean, when you guys hear about that, I mean, we were talking about Woody Johnson's earlier. I was feeling a Woody Johnson when you think about that lineup with, you know, Stephon Diggs, DeAndre Hopkins, and just Gabriel Davis as your third wide receiver or whatever, and your slot wide receiver could be Khalil Shakir or Deontay Hardy or Trent Sherfield or a draft pick or whatever. Like, how great does that sound? Even if it's for a 1-year rental and you end up having to cut him after this season, like, doesn't that feel like they're going all in if they do that? John, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I'm super excited about the prospect of getting Hopkins on the team. Josh Allen needs more weapons, period. And it, he's established, and like, to just immediately plug him in. And it, wide receiver, like, I think it's their biggest need anyhow. So they had to figure out the, you know, the contract and details, and if they have to rework that and everything else. But as far as what I'd give up for him, like, I've been seeing stuff across the board. Like, it was one place I was saying a fifth and a sixth, maybe. I mean, I'd probably go as high as a second. You could spend that on a receiver anyway, probably. 50-50 hit on a receiver in the draft. At least you know this guy's good, right?
I mean, it's less than 50-50 if you think you're going to draft a guy and he's going to be as good as DeAndre Hopkins, right? Like, it's almost unlikely at any stage in the draft. I mean, how many receivers in the league are better than DeAndre Hopkins? Like, 10 maybe? Like, so it's so unlikely, right? So many receivers go in the draft. I love what you said, John. Mike, you probably feel the same way. Love it.
I love it. I feel the same.
And I mean, we can finally put together. Sometimes I think when I try to think how much I would love the move is if I think of the standpoint of another team in the AFC, like if you give Patrick Mahomes DeAndre Hopkins, how does that make you feel as a Bills fan? You're like, ugh, like that sucks. Like, whereas if the Bills had signed Bobby Wagner, or like the Chiefs, like let's say the Chiefs signed Bobby Wagner, which was a player that we were all looking at potentially for the middle linebacker spot. If the Chiefs sign him, you're just like, okay, well, they got a good middle linebacker. Like, that doesn't move the needle as far as like, oh man, like they're going to be unstoppable. The Bills get DeAndre Hopkins, and all of a sudden, every team in the AFC is thinking, oh dear God, like, what are you doing? Like, how are we supposed to beat that team? You know, like they could have a better offensive line this season, and you get them another Stephon Diggs like player. Like, who doesn't worry about that if you're within the division or you're within the AFC, or you might have to play the Bills in the Super Bowl? Like, that's foreboding. I think about that every time when the Bills have to play the Bengals, and they have Tyler Boyd, and they have Jamar Chase, and they have, you know, T. Higgins, and then they have like a, at the time they had a good tight end. Like, you know, that's foreboding to play against. It's like, man. So, if, like you said, John, with the reports being anywhere from a fifth and a sixth to a second, like, I would absolutely give away a second round pick to have a chance to really make a 1-year run on this. And even if it means that you have, like, you know, $5-10 million of dead cap next season, it's like, you know, that's the cost of going all in and doing that. And I'd be okay with that. I think it would really put it in the forefront that the Bills are for real. and trying to take a swing at it. So John, now that we're going into, you said wide receiver is your biggest need right now. Obviously, the Bills get DeAndre Hopkins. That's got to knock it down to like 5 or 6, right? Like that doesn't just knock it down one peg. The Bills pick a quarterback in the first or second round. You're kind of like, what? Or I'm sorry, wide receiver. So we're going to go over our biggest needs. John and I are going to list some of them. And Mike's kind of going to be the deciding factor because I don't think John and I are going to agree on everything. So this will kind of give us our big board going into the draft. So when we talk about the best draft prospects available at a certain position, whether it's, you know, linebacker, wide receiver, defensive end, or whatever, like we have a playbook to go off of, you know. So, John, your biggest need right now is wide receiver, correct? When you think about wide receiver, do you think of a DeAndre Hopkins type wide receiver, like a big boundary wide receiver that can make contested catches? Like when you, in your mind, vision wide receiver, could it be that? Is it a slot receiver? Is it anything? Like you just want talent. I don't care where it is. I don't care where they go. Just give him another weapon to throw to, the best possible weapon. I don't care where they line up.
Yeah, but bottom line, I think just get the most talent that you can get. My preference would be to have that outside guy who can, like you said, make contested catches. I feel like they have a lot of slot, or at least a couple of guys that can play slot already. I really like Shakir a lot. And then obviously they brought in Hardy. And so like, I think it would be good to have the outside guy, but like bottom line, like he needs more guys to throw to, period. So
I like that one. I think that the wide receiver is going to be big, especially with Gabe Davis potentially leaving next year. So that leaves a huge void on the other side of Stephon Diggs. And you think about it, like they don't really have anyone to go there right now. Maybe Trent Sherfield. I know that Deontay Hardy lined up on the outside. Do you really want a 5'6" guy on the outside? Not necessarily all the time. Khalil Shakir played a little outside in college too as well. But if Gabriel Davis goes down or Stephon Diggs goes down, you really don't have anyone. So from my standpoint, I think I agree with you. More boundary than slot, more bigger. I mean, and it doesn't have to be a guy that's, you know, 6'3" or whatever. He can be like, you know, 5'10", 5'11", 6 foot or whatever. Just a guy that can create separation, get away. So I do like wide receiver. I will, however, say that I thought the Bills would make a move at middle linebacker. The Bills let Tremaine Edmonds go. They have a huge hole there. They haven't signed any veterans. All they've done is, you know, they have Terrell Bernard, who will be a second year player. He's undersized for that middle linebacker position, or I think that the size that the Bills covet, like Tremaine Edmonds had, or at least something similar to that. Tyrell Dodson is back, but he could never really crack the lineup, and he didn't really impress when he was in there. He wasn't terrible, but he wasn't great. They could definitely improve in that. I'm going to put middle linebacker at the top of my list only because they don't really have a guy there. Like, they've spent money and resources to get wide receivers at least to somewhat address that need, because before free agency in the draft, like you and I both agree, wide receiver is one of the biggest needs. I think if the first round comes around tomorrow, they're not going to take a wide receiver whatsoever. But I'm not doing what they think. I'm doing what I think. I would take one, but I still think middle linebacker is a bigger need because they just don't have one. And if middle linebacker wasn't as important on the defense, the guy that's the quarterback of the defense, the guy that's making the calls to the front four, the back seven, like if it wasn't for that position being so important to the Buffalo Bills and them having nothing, I would probably agree with you and say wide receiver. But for now, I'm going to say middle linebacker. So, Mike, you've heard two arguments. You've heard one from John for wide receiver, which was iffy at best for the argument. And then you have mine.
I have like a
strikingly
a
similar
to
probably
just said.
A rebuttal. Absolutely.
One thing I want to mention is, oh well, actually, shoot. To your point about the draft, I have no doubt that they're taking a linebacker in the first round. What we think aside, but it's incredibly hard to have an amazing offense and amazing defense at the same time in the NFL. And the Bills have been trying to do that, but you can see that the offense has been sacrificed, especially if you look at the draft history. The Bills haven't, their first, aside from Josh Allen, every first pick that they've had in every draft has been defense, going all the way back until you hit Sammy Watkins. So it's been a while. I think since they have Josh Allen, they need to maybe start to sacrifice a little bit more on the defense instead and surround him with the talent. If you outscore everybody on every drive, you score every drive, then who cares if you have an average defense, right?
Yeah, I actually do like that point a lot. it goes against what my middle linebacker play, but you're right, it doesn't matter. And they keep on trying to, you know, cover up these holes. Eventually, something's got to give, to your point, John. So I would rather it be the defense as opposed to the offense. If they could get, like I just mentioned, DeAndre Hopkins, the Bills getting DeAndre Hopkins, like that worries every team. Like they draft a middle linebacker in the first round. Like who gives a crap in the AFC? Like no one cares. But if you give the Bills like some wide receiver that falls down, maybe a Zay Flowers or something like that, people are like, oh crap. Like you just gave Josh Allen one of the best wide receivers in the draft. So I do like that pick. I still think middle linebacker is a bigger need in general for the position. As a Bills fan, I would freaking love if they took a wide receiver in the first round still, knowing what we know. But, Mike, I feel like the decision might already be made now, but what do you think? Middle linebacker, wide receiver, which one do you put higher for the Buffalo Bills? It's a bigger need.
John saved himself with an excellent rebuttal.
So we have wide receiver, number one.
But!
Oh, there's a but!
You agreed with him, man. You got to stick to your guns. Jeez.
Yeah, I like John so much. It's hard for me to, like, argue with him, you know? But, yeah. I agree with him to the point. I just think it's a... I still do think it's a bigger need. Like, don't get me wrong. I think it's a bigger need.
You're such a pushover, man.
I am.
You got to work on that.
Oh, man. You're so right. I just... I'm the biggest pushover ever. God, you're so right. What else do I do wrong?
John definitely convinced me with his rebuttal, second final push.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good. You did bring up some good points about them always trying to hit on the defense in first-round picks. I think last episode, John, you mentioned that the Bills haven't spent a legit first-round pick on offense since Sammy Watkins in 2014,
Allen
right?
Yeah, Allen is the only other one.
Allen is the only other one. And see how many times they've missed on defense since then. I mean, I'd say that they've missed more than hit on the defense. So if you're going to take a chance on something, you know, wide receiver. Okay, wide receiver. John, second need. Do you have middle linebacker or do you have something
else linebacker
for the Buffalo Bills?
Yeah, I like a week or two ago, okay, probably would have been offensive line. But between McGovern and Edwards, I think that bumped linebacker up as more of a need for me. Because even like, not just middle linebacker, but like Milano goes down, there's nobody. It's the same thing, right? I mean, I do like Dotson, yeah, and you know, they have Bernard, but like, it's pretty slim at linebacker right now.
Yeah, the depth is very unproven. It's very slim. There's not a lot of size. Yeah, everything that you just mentioned and I just mentioned, I like that one. I was going to go wide receiver next. So I think we're at wide receiver, linebacker next. There's not really a discussion because we kind of had them. And I actually, so when we first started this a few weeks ago, we had offensive line, specifically like guard, center, interior line. But since then, they've, like you mentioned, they signed three different guys. And so now we're talking about all of a sudden like having depth for once at this position, which we've asked for so many times. I don't see them drafting a guy this early. Would I hate it? Absolutely not. If they drafted a guard in the first round instead of a middle linebacker, I might be like, okay, that's interesting, but I wouldn't hate it whatsoever. Because, John, like you said, like let it battle out. If this rookie is better than all the guys you've signed, or maybe better than an established starter like Ryan Bates, it's only going to help Josh Allen throw to his weapons. Like, you're only helping him, to your point. So I don't have that as my second need. I have, you know, wide receiver. So right now our team needs are wide receiver, linebacker. The next team need, John, I imagine you're moving offensive linemen down, so it's not your third need, correct?
No, I still have it at three. I didn't move it that far down. I have concerns with, you know, Mitch Morse's history with his concussions. If we lose him, he's our best offensive lineman. So we should really have something in place for that. And I think overall the offensive line was really subpar last year. And like a lot of times Allen is just immediately, you know, just gotta start running, right? So I think they still need to continue to upgrade that. I know we've talked about, you know, Bates moving over to the other side and Spencer Brown and this and that, but like, we don't know if like those guys are going to be consistent.
So when you think offensive linemen, are you thinking, like you said, Mitch Morris, you mentioned the interior offensive line, are you thinking maybe even a potential upgrade at right tackle over Spencer Brown? Because he wasn't great last season at all. Like, you could potentially get a guy, like, I mean, if you draft a guy in the third round or later, you're probably getting, like, another guy that has tools that you have to groom, just like Spencer Brown. So it's like, what's the point? But if you did take one in the first round that could compete with him, all of a sudden you're talking about left tackle Deion Dawkins, center Mitch Morris. You have Connor McGovern, Ryan Bates on both sides of Mitch Morris, and then you have depth with, you know, Edwards that just got signed. Ike Butker is coming back from a serious injury, so he's healthy now. Like, maybe Spencer Brown becomes your swing tackle, and this new tackle comes. I like that one a lot, John. So if you're thinking offensive tackle or right tackle, all of a sudden, like, I might move down the guard, but I move up the right tackle. So that's where I focus. Now, would I love a guy that could play right tackle and guard, maybe?
Yeah, that's why I kind of just said, I just have offensive line written down. I didn't really break it out between, you know, tackle, guard, and center and all that, but maybe that's cheating.
Okay. So I like that one. What I will say, though, is I did not have offensive line as my third need. I have defensive tackle. So, Mike, you're going to have to come in again. John says offensive line. I say defensive tackle. And the reason why I say defensive tackle is, you know, with the drama of Ed Oliver over Twitter of being like, I want to be paid more, or like, you know, goodbye. Like, see, it's just this drama of him apparently getting maybe contract offers from the Buffalo Bills that aren't what he thinks he should be paid. Like, he must think he's a top five defensive tackle. I don't even see him as, geez, I mean, we just talked about Tremaine Edmonds being paid as a top five linebacker. Like, I would never pay. I could at least see paying Tremaine Edmonds as a top five linebacker. I would not pay Ed Oliver as a top five linebacker. Like, they just, I don't think he's lived up to anything of his draft stock. The Bills have no defensive tackle signed through next season. Next season, they have zero defensive tackles on their roster. So, in saying that, could they sign Calais Campbell? Could he be somewhat of a defensive tackle along with edge rusher? Maybe that would help knock down this need. Of course, it would only be a one-year deal. They lost Jordan Phillips. They only have Tim Settle, Ed Oliver, Daquan Jones, and
Brandon,
Eli Onko, I think, a defensive tackle. So while the offensive, yeah, Brandon Bryant. So while the offensive line has gotten better interior-wise, and we're hoping that Spencer Brown takes another step, which we don't know if he will or not, I can see offensive tackle. However, the Bills have no defensive tackles on the roster past the season, and I'm not even sure I'm in love with everyone besides Daquan Jones. Like, at this point, I'm like, I only like Daquan Jones on that defensive line so far, and I don't really like anyone else. You could potentially get a guy in the first round that could beat out Ed Oliver, and then he becomes useless, or you could trade out Ed Oliver. So I'm going to put defensive tackle as my biggest need. I think it's a need this season, and it's absolutely a need next season. A thing where you could get a first-round pick or a second-round pick or whatever, and he could be in the defensive line rotation.
You're talking about next year's needs at this point. I got defensive tackle at number five for me. I think they still have Oliver this year. They got Settle and Jones. I think my offensive argument for having the offensive line stays the same. I want to help Josh Allen. And then I won't get into my number four yet, but I'm sticking with offensive line.
You mean number four, where you're going to look into 2024 also because they have perfect depth for 2023?
Maybe. We'll talk about that after we get through this argument.
Because I know who you're going to say.
I'll change.
We'll talk about hypocrisy then.
You already know what I'm going to say.
So, Mike. I know you too well, John. I didn't like when Daquan Jones went out in the Bengals game. I didn't realize how reliant they were on him because they sucked up the middle. They were terrible. Whether it was Tim Settle or Ed Oliver or whoever was lining up in defensive tackle, they sucked. There was no pressure, and the Bengals ran all over them through the middle. Draw play. Joe Mixon.
Won't matter next year. Those are scoring on every offensive.
It was terrible
possession, so they can run all they want.
I think you want something in the cartridge for this season, and I think you need next season. And I think that they, you're right, defense maybe not seen as an important thing, but you still have to have starters there. You could still upgrade at a position, and you actually get a guy that could penetrate and sack the quarterback on the interior. Like, that'd be something the Bills haven't had since Kyle Williams, I feel. Like, Ed Oliver's shown flashes in rare circumstances. So he just hasn't lived up to it. And I think that's a huge, huge hole in the defensive line. And sure, like, they have guys, they have people there. I mean, you could argue that Ed Oliver is the Spencer Brown of the defensive tackle. Like, they have a guy there, but you could absolutely upgrade. So I think defensive tackle, I think they need it now, and they absolutely need it later. So, Mike, bias aside,
what bias do you think I have?
To agree with everything that John says.
Do you want a rebuttal option?
sounds like I need a rebuttal. Now,
if you I think if you don't help Ellen now, there won't be a later, right? Like, I think we're of one mind. If we think about it, like, defense is a little bit easier to plug and play. Can we agree on that? I think we're of the same mind in that respect. And I just like to see, kind of piggybacking off what John said previously, use some picks on offense and finally solidify the line.
You're a smart man, Mike.
Well, I'm taking a lot of L's today. So anyway, so when you say that, I just want to make sure, do you just say offensive line in general, John or Mike? Or is it like, should we focus on, like, right tackle, like I just mentioned, Spencer Brown being subpar? Like, or is it a guy that could do tackle and guard? Like, John, when you envision this, like, just in general, you want to upgrade to the best possible. Like, could it be a center? Like, would you take a center in the first round? Like, if you thought it would be better, or, like, what areas are you looking for? Because this determines how we look at the draft prospects for episodes going on.
I'd probably be looking at tackle in the future, because it would also if you end up needing guard, or let's say this guy doesn't end up, draft prospect A doesn't end up working out at tackle, it's easier to convert to guard than trying to have somebody who's played mostly guard to tackle. That's not to say I wouldn't take a guard either, especially if they have center experience. But yeah,
okay. Because so we're not ruling out the option for guard, but we're not focusing on that specifically. Like, because there's some really good guard prospects that can't be moved to tackle, but maybe some tackle prospects that can be moved to guard.
Right.
Or so you can like just that ability tackle, to, right? to do mean, both, like you said. I mean, geez. That wouldn't be the worst thing either. And that's not even to say that you couldn't potentially, as weird as it sounds, potentially upgrade Deion Dawkins. I mean, we don't think about that. But, I mean, there's possible that they could draft a guy and he could eventually be better than him. You never know. So I like that one. So,
hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prof G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
So right now we have wide receiver, number one, middle linebacker, number two, potentially other linebacker, but mostly middle linebacker, number two. Number three, offensive lineman, specifically like right tackle, maybe some guard experience, guy that you can move in. Like Cody Ford, like that was a guy that they drafted thinking he'd be a right tackle. Okay, worst case scenario, we'll move him into guard, I guess. And he was terrible at both, but that's another, it's another topic for another time. Number four, John, since you've won them all so far, why don't I just give you, I won't even give you mine. What do you have for
Well, yours is
four?
Next. Your next one is defensive tackle regardless, right? But I think I have safety next.
Maybe I'll switch it up.
And let me tell you why. So we mentioned, you know, at defensive tackle, we have Oliver, Settle, and Jones are the top three. At safety, you have Poyer, Hyde, and Hamlin. Now, out of all six of those names, two of them have had injury-related stuff happen, and they're both safeties, Poyer and Hamlin. So that's why I gave safety the edge over defensive tackle, not just because, you know, Poirier and Hyde might not be back next year, like you're anticipating me saying. So yeah, that's why I got.
Why are you thinking that far away? We're thinking about 2023, John.
At safety is what has me have them above defensive tackle.
What I'll say to that is, I see your point, but at least the Bills have two All Pros at safety when they're healthy. The Bills have no All-Pros at defensive tackle, and they could definitely use more talent up there. Like, if you draft a guy in the first round, let's say, or the second round or third round, the odds of him ever getting a chance to start over Poyer and Hyde is almost unheard of. He could be depth to eventually start over them, or if there's an injury, sure. But, like, you could draft a guy at defensive tackle that would start over even Daquan Jones, as much as we love him, or Ed Oliver. Like, this might be the sign... signal. They could trade Ed Oliver tomorrow, and it doesn't sound like anyone in Bills Mafia would be worried, but I think that's possible. So, Mike, I already gave my defensive tackle argument. So, defensive tackle or safety, which one do you think's a bigger need out of those two?
Defensive tackle.
I feel like you just gave me one just to... That's okay, I'll take that. I'll take it any way I can, to be quite honest. So, John, after that, I mean, so those are our top five needs. Defensive tackle, because I have safety next, John. I like that one as well. I wasn't going to make an argument for you, of course, but I liked safety. So then we have defensive tackle, safety, 4-5. Is there another one that you want to add before we head out of here?
I had two others.
On our list for biggest needs?
One being defensive end.
Okay.
I mean, they're defensive line. One. Like, they have all this... first and second round investments on that have not panned out. It's kind of frustrating, but especially with the Von Miller injury too, you know, and it's not like you see Gregory Rousseau getting like, you know, double digit sacks either. So they got a lot of guys, Basham, Epinesa.
So when you
got all these guys, but it's just not, I don't know.
When you say, so like, I love defensive end. That's actually my next one as well. But I think when I think of defensive end specifically is exactly what you said, pass rush. I don't care if he's a pass rush specialist. Like, they could get a guy in the third round that all he does is pass or rush the passer. Like, maybe he does not good at defending the run like Greg Rousseau or AJ Epinesa or whatever. Like, I just want a guy that can get to the freaking quarterback. I think that's what the Bills are really missing. And you draft a guy like that, and that's specifically the guy I want. We've kind of gone back and forth with, like, you know, certain positions, like... you know, like offensive line. Which offensive line? Okay. But this guy, if they draft a defensive end, I just want him to get after quarterback. I want him to be one of the best at that. And I don't care if he stinks at rundowns or whatever. He can't contain the edge. It's not ideal, but whatever. Like, we want a guy that we can throw in at third and long and can create some pressure.
Yep.
So what do you have as your next one after that? Because I think we used to have, like, running back, tight end. I think running backs off the list. Is a tight end? Is that your last
one?
Not
that they really used the tight end that much anyway.
No, but if they drafted one, I'm not opposed to that. This might, John, work into what you said about wide receiver, though. Like, if they took a tight end in the first round, all of a sudden you give them another pass catcher, like, that's a weapon, sure. Right? Like, that's almost upgrading the wide receiver position, or at least pass catching group. So I like that one. Is it an absolute huge need? Not, you know, face value, but maybe you get a guy that's basically just a big slot receiver, you know, on passing down. So I like that one. Those are good. Those are our top seven needs for those following at home. Wide receiver, number one. Middle linebacker, number two. Offensive line at number three. And we were kind of alluding to right tackle, guard, but, you know, potentially someone to challenge Spencer Brown. Number four, defensive tackle. Number five, safety. Number six, defensive end. And number seven, tight end. So we're going to come up with a list of prospects for you guys to look for next week. We're going to go over maybe a couple at each position and tell you why we like them, just give you a quick overview. So when we start doing mock drafts, you can see why we start pointing to some of these guys or what we're looking for and go from there. So that's kind of the playbook so far. So anyone else have any, did I miss anything? Any final thoughts before we end this free agency recap of week two and an updated big board of needs?
I could talk about something non-Bills related. We'll just cut it out after.
No, let's.
So we're on vacation, and there's a toilet, and it leaks a little bit, like where the toilet meets the ground.
Wait, is this in an Airbnb, or is this your own house, or what? Where is it?
Airbnb.
Okay.
Okay. Very, leak isn't the right word, but like where the base meets the floor. Tile. Mm-hmm. So it leaks a little bit. So you can just put like a paper towel down, you know, to like get the water, but eventually it'll be totally wet. So we're talking about that and, and I said like, yeah, it's not a big deal, but my pants will get wet. And, I'm trying to think of a fake name. We'll say Jessica. Let's use it. Beep that out. What's a good fake name? Let's all think of a fake
Michaela.
Name.
Say it the same Michaela.
No, Michael, you know, like... I love that name.
Well, is she the heroine of this story, or is she the person that you're feuding with?
No, just the person I'm with. So we'll say... John, what's a good name? What's
Ursula?
Shannon. How about that? Shannon. Okay.
And I love Shannon.
What?
I love Shannon. Every Shannon I've ever met, I loved. Just kidding. Go ahead. I don't give a crap.
So to reset the story, right? I'm like, I don't want my pants to get wet. And she's like, why would your pants get wet? Like, if I have to use the bathroom, like, you pull your pants down. And she's like, what? You would just leave them up by your knees. I'm like, no, you don't. You put them down by your shoes or feet, right? No?
Are you asking us a question?
Yeah, like, what still do you guys do?
When I drop trowel?
You probably take your pants
don't want to
off.
I fold
totally
them up over the
shower
and curtain.
Hang them up. I maintain, like, if you're in an office environment, you see people's like pants are not like. So she would say, like, if you were looking under a stall, you wouldn't be able to tell anyone was like their pants were lowered. Whereas I would say, like, your pants are like dropped, and then what's keeping them up is like your shoes. And them. Does that make sense?
I feel like we're going to learn a lot about each other in this episode. Like, these sorts of habits. I feel like
am I explaining it correctly? You understand? Is the imagery there?
I just have to decide if I'm going to agree with you just so that you don't think I'm weird.
I was
for
waiting
doing
for
Nate
to respond first
or,
before I
no.
respond.
Just kidding. No, you wanted to see. Is Nate going to go the same
girl,
way I go?
Maybe it's
a
girl versus guy thing. Maybe so, women keep... like their pants up at their knees and guys.
Yes, I feel like that is the case. Now that I think about my wife, when I've walked in, I've stumbled in. So I do what you say, Mike. I drop them down to the floor.
It's even in the name, like you said, dropping trowel.
Dropping trowel. That's what I meant.
Is trowel
just
a trouser?
Clever pun. I meant drop trowel. Like, that's what I think that means. I think. I've only heard my dad say that, so it's only like a reference from the 1960s. But yeah, that's what I do. But women are different, man. Like, women, like, when you go into a public restroom,
you hover, right?
Well, I don't think I do. I just check to make
not
sure
you,
it's clean.
I mean, yeah,
women hover. Right. Like, I do make sure that it's not wet. Because you can't trust men to, like, you know, lift up the seat, even though, you know, like, it's just for them to not spray it everywhere. So yeah, I've never hovered.
No.
But women do that too. So I could see that being a different thing of like men and women.
Yeah,
potentially.
I agree with you, yes.
John.
Same.
John's like, whatever you guys say.
John does something completely different. He doesn't, won't admit to.
John's like, I take my shirt off and my pants off when I go to the bathroom.
George has a thing to
it's
do.
Really crazy. Like when my son goes, like, because he's young, you know, I have to teach him, like, you know, the kids thing is like, sometimes I've seen little kids, you know, when they're learning, they'd like, they take off their pants, which is always hilarious to think that, like, but like in a public place, like, I remember, like, my wife's nephews are like, no, don't do that. Like, you're in a public place. But like my son, I'll even have to tell him, like, hey, when you're in a public place, like in a urinal, even, like, don't drop your pants to the ground. Like, keep them hovered, like, around, you know.
Wait, what?
Thighs. You know, thighs or whatever. So you don't have to, like, bend all the way down to pick them up. You, like, you don't, you know, it's a different, yeah. If I'm taking you to a Bills game, you're definitely not going to the urinal and just letting it drop. Like, your pants will be wet next to that trough. So, yeah, that's, you're not crazy.
Okay, good to know. Thank you.
Of course, we might be the only three people like this out there. Everyone else just, I'm sure there are times where I only go thigh, maybe.
But maybe you should do a poll.
Restrictive, I would imagine.
On Twitter.
You know, this is a live Twitter poll right now. We do that sometimes. I don't know how I would word that correctly. But the only reason it's funny.
Let me ask ChatGPT.
Okay. The AI chat will let us know what it does. What do you do?
No, how to word it.
Oh, how to word it. Okay. That's okay. I don't know if I want to use the Bills of Circling the Wagons official Twitter account to do that. The only reason, so I'll say that I had to think about it because I honestly don't know what I do.
Do men really let their pants touch the ground when sitting? Why would you drop your pants onto the ground? I prefer the pants to the knees method for jeans and the pull one out leg method for, wait, what?
Pull one leg out? Wow. ChatGPT just blowing my mind over here. Is there an advantage to just pulling one leg out?
I take them off and leave them at my desk. That's John's.
Could you imagine pulling one leg off? You like undo your shoe with one, like the other foot, take the sock off, or you don't need to take the sock off, then just pull one leg through. I did not know where your story was headed. I thought there was going to be a thing where you had to like replace the toilet or there was... Went a completely different. So I'll say the only reason I know that because if I'm ever on my phone while I'm on the toilet, which is probably 90% of the time, like I do this thing where I set it down in my pants.
Wait,
and whatever.
When you say
while
in
I,
your pants, you mean inside your underwear?
Yeah. Just set it down. Like I'll
the
set
phone
it down.
You give to me sometimes to like look stuff up.
Well, what is, I mean, I'm not that dirty. Like, I'm a
the
pretty
phone
clean
I've
guy.
Used to call my mother with.
So I'll like set it down while I go to, because I don't want to put it in my pocket. This is what I'm scared of because I've had this happen once or twice over the years.
Yeah.
Is I put it in my pocket and then as I pull up my pants, like to get
drops
off, like it's come out and fallen on the floor. My biggest fear in life is it falling out and like going backwards somehow, or I knock it off like the toilet reel or whatever, and it just like falls into the toilet, and I'm just like I'm not getting it, you know. So it's stuck in there. So I set it down like there. I do what
like
I have to do.
Like a little pouch.
Like a little
pouch. Like a kangaroo pouch.
Like I'm a marsupial and my iPhone is my, you know, yeah.
Joey.
My young. Yeah, my Rue. So, yeah. That's what I do. That's the only reason I know that I do that.
I work.
John, maybe I'll try doing
will
it
you
the
admit
other
to
way.
That?
Jeez.
With other problems like was if you weren't hot. Rocking cargo.
It's a hold on my stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I get the utility.
I just can't believe you wear them out in public. Cargo shorts, however, huge fan of. I haven't worn cargo pants since I was in high school, I think. Maybe college? Eh?
They'll be back.
Oh, they're
back,
baby.
Again.
John's bringing them back. They will be back. I'll just drop my phone once in the toilet, just now being, you know. And I'll just be like, I wish I just wore cargo pants to work. I would avoid all of this. Isn't that your biggest fear, though, when you're going to the bathroom? Is that you'll...
I do the pouch thing, too.
You son of a... You made me feel like I'm the only one that...
I learned it from watching you, all right?
That's a good way to end this podcast on a super serious note. So appreciate that, Mike. Again, this episode is brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook at DeLago. One of the cleanest bathrooms I've ever been in, so you're probably safe there as well. Just make sure you stick the toilet or the phone in the pouch. And women, do they not have the pouch? Do women have the pouch? That they apparently don't. They have to set it down. Like, you just have to hope there's a table or something next to you while you got your phone. Do you know women are on their phone, too? It's not just us. But, yeah. Biggest fear.
You'd have a pouch if you were wearing pants. Anyone would have a pouch.
Right?
Yeah.
I feel like men's underwear is slightly different, though. There's a little bit more pouch area down there to carry something. Like, it's basically like wall-to-wall pouch for me.
Like a sack.
A sack. Yes. Sack slash holder. Yeah, so anyway, DraftKings Sportsbook at DeLago, our sponsor for this episode and every episode of the Circling the Wagons podcast. Thank you guys all for listening. Go over it. Let us know about our top seven needs, if you agree, disagree, what you think, because next week when we start doing draft prospects, it'd be good to get some feedback if you have any. If not, you agree with it, and we'll just keep going from there. So signing off for John.
Love you guys. Go Bills.
For Mike.
Go Bills.
And for me, Nate. Keep that pouch nice and dry and clean, and we'll talk to you guys. Go Bills. We'll talk to you guys again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey pod@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills, mate.